Your money, your estate plan, your retirement. Securing Arizona's future one family at a time. This is The Word on Wealth. Intelligent financial talk you can have faith in. With your host, president and co-founder of Grand Canyon Planning Associates, John Dombrowski. Send your questions to DearJohn@thewordonwealth.com. Now, here's John.
And welcome to The Word on Wealth. I'm John Dombrowski. Going to be with you here for the next hour, talking some financial talk and financial issues facing all of us. As always, I love it when you've got questions for me, anything financial. Whether it's IRAs, 401ks, 403bs, Roth IRAs, insurance, real estate, estate planning or taxes, whatever's on your mind, you can shoot me an email to DearJohn@thewordonwealth.com with your question. Again, that's DearJohn@thewordonwealth.com. And as always, when we're talking about these important financial issues, I love to take the fun approach to the serious matter of your money. And good morning. Hopefully you're having a great morning today. Things are going great over on our end, and hopefully you're staying safe out there. Many of you may have had an opportunity to get your COVID-19 vaccine. I've been hearing mixed, comments about this, whether it's, yes, I'm going to get it, no, I'm not going to get it, or maybe I'm going to get it. I want to see what's happening. Maybe I don't want to get the two shots from Moderna. I'm going to wait until Pfizer comes out with their single shot. I would say this, though, from what I'm hearing around not only town, but also as far as nationally, it looks like once Pfizer comes out with their vaccine, it's going to really give the opportunity to a lot of people to get it if they choose to do so. I know personally, I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to get the vaccine when I'm able to do it. This way I can, you know, be able to, number one, say I had it. If I'm going to go traveling, if I'm going to do something, I mean, all of these things are going to probably help people to be more mobile once they are vaccinated. But I can understand if somebody doesn't want to get it, it certainly should be their choice, their prerogative. And that's just the way things are. That's what America's all about, right? Freedom. And we should be able to do what we want. So, but it looks like if Pfizer does come out, which should be soon, we're going to start to see vaccinations being able to be done in the pharmacies, which would open up a whole new level of opportunity for people who do want to get it, whether you're in a risk class or maybe you're just a person who just wants to get the vaccine. There's a lot of people out there that I've talked to who have gotten the first vaccine. And of course, we know with the Moderna, it's the second vaccine is approximately 3 weeks after that. And they've got their second appointment scheduled. So this is all going to be part of what we're calling in our financial industry the reopening trade, right? The reopening trade, which means once we get to a certain point in this country where they feel that COVID-19 is not necessarily eliminated, but it is somewhat under control, that we therefore would be able to open up the country. And when I say open the country, I mean, we're very fortunate here in the state of Arizona. If you think about it, we have our businesses and restaurants and so forth are open. You can dine in, you can dine out. We've been very lucky here. We have been shut down for a while, but then of course we reopened very quickly compared to California, which still there are limitations, extreme limitations to restaurants, just dining outside. And in some cases, limited to parties of five or six. So there's still a lot of heavy restrictions. City of New York has been closed for restaurants. They are going to be opening, it sounds like, anyway, this weekend. And that was what the plan was for New York. So for Valentine's Day out there, for all of you who wanted to take your sweetheart out for a nice Valentine's dinner if you're in New York. Now it looks like you're going to be able to do that. But again, as I said, here in Arizona, we've been able to do that all along, which has been very lucky for us. So with that being said, that reopening trade that we're looking to get where the economy really starts to flow again is going to be critical to the success of the overall recovery from COVID-19 and from the downturn that we had back last year, early 2020. We have had a tremendous recovery, though, and I talk about this just about every week, that if you were a person that when the market was falling back in early 2020, got nervous and pulled out and kept your money in cash because you thought there was going to be this big shoe that dropped. That shoe never came. We have had a tremendous rebound. Not only that, we're seeing year-to-date positive economic news across the board. Yes, we have still a lot of people unemployed, a lot of people on continued long-term unemployment. The hope would be, again, once the economy gets reopened, that many of those people will go back to work and be able to get off unemployment. But we also have to understand that we've been seeing positive reports from corporate earnings. We've seen companies that have been surpassing what their expected earnings have been, whether it's on the revenue side as well as on the profit side. And the growth has been there, which is really amazing. Now, we're also seeing other sectors of the market that in the past year or two have not been really, I guess, front and center. And that's good because we're starting to see this broadening of the prosperity across many sectors of the market. So I do believe that if you are still in the camp that you're waiting for this other shoe to drop, you have missed an opportunity and you may want to reconsider what you're currently doing. If you're working with a financial professional, I'm hoping that they're giving you some solid advice. But if you're looking for someone to sit down and talk to get some understanding about how you could be positioning your investments to ultimately take advantage of what is happening during this recovery and the potential of what's going to happen when the economy really opens up, then I encourage you to give me a call. You can reach out to me at my Scottsdale office at 480-991-1055. That's 480-991-1055. Or you can go to our website, GrandCanyonPlanning.com, and request an appointment right there on the website. And speaking about the website, I encourage you, if you're a listener of my show, that you should sign up for our weekly economic update, and that's for through our firm, Grand Canyon Planning. We have a very robust website, but we also have this weekly economic update that will drop into your email box each and every week, which will give you some informative information that you can take, you know, just to be able to understand what's happening on a weekly basis with the financial world, right? And the week on Wall Street is one of the things we talk about. There's a weekly tip there. We did see a pretty nice, robust recovery for the markets. We did have a pullback during this whole, many of you may have heard of, GameStop and the short squeeze that people talked about. I talked a little bit about it on the show last week. We did see a recovery of the markets. That was a little bit of a spook for the markets. It did not overflow into the market, and we did see a very sharp recovery. Six straight days of gains for the major indexes, and then we saw a slight pause for a couple of days, but nothing of any significance, and that's very common when we see these rises like this. So if you're in a situation to where you're kind of like a deer in headlights, you just don't know what to do. You're concerned about what's happening. It really does make sense for you to work with an investment advisor that has the knowledge to be able to help you reach those financial goals you're trying to accomplish. So again, check out our website, GrandCanyonPlanning.com. You can request an appointment there as well as sign up for our weekly economic update. And one of the things we talk about, too, is the upcoming economic news. We also talk about the past week in the weekly economic update. It shows what the markets have done. Year to date, the Dow is up 1.77, the NASDAQ up 7.51. Gee, we're only in the second week of February, up already 7.5%. That'd be a good annual rate of return. And then the S&P 500 up 3.48%. So, all of these things are just information that you'll gather from our weekly economic update, as well as our weekly riddle. You know, last week's riddle was, it can certainly be measured, yet it has no length, width, or height. What is it? Well, I thought that was fairly easy, and it is the temperature. That's the answer. This week's riddle, who lives in a home with no bedrooms, an infinite hallways, and ghosts lurking everywhere? Who lives in a home with no bedrooms, infinite hallways, and ghosts lurking everywhere? If you want the answer to that, drop it into your email box. You'll get it each and every week. by just signing up for our weekly economic update. And you can do that by going to our website at GrandCanyonPlanning.com, and we'll get that sent to you each and every week on a Monday. And this way you'll have the answer before you hear me say it on the following Saturday. Well, I hope all of you remember that it is Valentine's Day and that you are going to take your sweetheart out or do something special for them. And it goes both ways, right? So the guys have to do something special for their spouses, their wives, and the wives have to do something special for their husbands or boyfriends or girlfriends or whatever it may be. And I encourage you to maybe go out and be a patron of one of our local restaurants here. Maybe do some shopping around one of the local areas here as well. All right, there's the music. We're going to take our first break of this morning. And when I come back, we've got lots to talk about today. I'm John Dombrowski. This is The Word on Wealth. Stay right here with us. All right, John Dombrowski, The Word on Wealth. Hopefully you're having a great day today. And I wanted to change things up a little in this segment and talk a little bit about some estate planning. And I think I want to go back to basics when we talk about estate planning. And I don't want things to be too complicated. They don't have to be complicated when it comes to estate planning. And I believe a good estate plan is a complement to a good financial plan. And oftentimes the two go off in different directions, and they don't have to. So I want to come back to basics, a little estate planning 101, bring on estate planning attorney Jonathan Muntz with us. How you doing, Jonathan?
Good. How are you, John?
Fantastic. And we're going to get your mic turned up a little. How's that, a little better?
I think so.
Yeah. Well, you're so soft-spoken.
Yeah, I am, really. We can start yelling. We can get excited. I'm tired. It's too early.
Hey, so do you think, Jonathan, as I just said in my opening statement here, that the financial plan and the estate plan, they should be working together, side by side. But oftentimes we see that there is a separation there between them.
And I understand why, because there's all of these dumb articles, and they are dumb. Mm-hmm. Let me be clear, they're dumb, on these financial sites. And they're all the same. It's the same authors. It's the same. They're all retreads. They're all just a few words different. It's the same thing every year. There's nothing new, because I read all these same things too.
Right.
So if you've read something different, call in. I'd love to talk about it. I'm sure I've read it, because I'm always looking for something new.
Right.
And a different approach, and it's all the same. And some people are using these articles to try to steer you in one direction or the other. But in reality, the point of this is that the estate plan and financial plan, retirement plan, those all work together. Mm-hmm. They have different purposes, but they all need to work together. They're like, it's like that little fish that hangs around the shark. But the shark never eats it because the fish cleans the shark.
Right. Like there's symbiotic relationship type deal.
They work together, and mm-hmm. they need to be done together. So, for instance, could you do one and not do the others? Of course, but there's consequences, right?
Right.
So you could have an estate plan and not a retirement plan. Great, you've planned for your assets, but you don't have any because you don't have a retirement plan, right? You could have a retirement plan and not a estate plan. An estate plan, which would simply mean that, you know, when you get older, you'll have some money for retirement. But if you pass away or get sick, you have no plan for what happens to that money that you've
left
saved.
Behind,
you see
yeah.
what I mean?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Or even while you're alive.
Right.
Right. Because if you don't do estate planning documents, you're alive but incapacitated.
Yes.
I mean, it could be as simple as early onset of Alzheimer's and you don't have documents. What do you do? Like, you sometimes wait too late. And I don't mean to bring that up, but we are in a situation now where more and more people are diagnosed with some type of a neurological condition at earlier ages.
Sure.
Right? And so this planning becomes even more important.
Yeah, and we've seen it, Jonathan, here at our firm as well at Grand Canyon Planning, where we have younger clients maybe in their 40s and turning into their 50s, and all of a sudden some type of a neurological illness hits them, and it comes out of nowhere, Jonathan.
Right, and we don't want to panic, but the point is that if you get all these things done as soon as you can
mm-hmm. – be prepared.
It's one less thing to worry about, and now we're more prepared. But they should work together, even though they have different goals. But while you're alive, they serve the same purpose.
Sure.
They keep your financial life orderly, mm-hmm. and it'll be structured in such a way that it's easily managed. I would like to point some things out, and we'll talk further about this, that in this current year, 2019, the estate tax limit, the federal estate tax limit for individuals – is $11,400,000.
Which is the amount that you could pass to
right.
upon
a married
your
couple
death,
can
right.
now pass $22,800,000.
Without a federal inheritance tax.
Correct. And right. if there's any of you at that level or over it and are worried about it, please talk to me and please
talk
to John.
And we can plan for it.
And we can actually plan for it.
Mm-hmm.
But my point is, so we don't do estate planning anymore to avoid federal estate tax,
right.
typically.
Right.
That obviously is a concern, but it's not
as,
so
right, as much
15 years ago, we were really trying to we wanted to have and engage in strategies to ensure that there wasn't a state tax when it was much lower.
Sure.
Let's say when it was under $1 million.
Right.
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 So now we're not so much worried about it. So now when we plan, and also gift tax, right, we can now gift individuals $15,000 a year.
Mm-hmm.
And there's some exceptions to that, and there's something called the lifetime gift tax exemption, and we can talk about that further in the future.
Sure.
And of course, you can pay for medical care and all education. There's some exceptions. These are for other individuals. Right?
Sure, sure, yeah.
And I think the point of all of this is to kind of get an idea of why are we doing estate planning now. So primarily we have two reasons why we're doing estate planning. To plan while we're alive, right, should we become incapacitated, do we have agents and or people in place that will be able to step in and either manage our finances, manage our health care,
mm-hmm.
manage our revocable living trust,
right.
and be able to take care of us without having to go through the court and become our conservator.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And Jonathan, I know we've seen this over and over again, and you read all sorts of articles in the paper about companies that handle estates for individuals while they're alive and even upon their death. And these are companies that trust companies, whatever it may be, and the costs that are involved with this. And in some cases, unfortunately, mismanagement of these funds because there's really not really someone out there policing it. And unfortunately, people aren't thinking that completely through. If they would have just taken a little bit of time earlier in their life to be able to think, well, who would I want to be in that position? And don't let the courts decide who that's going to be.
No, so we couple this with the idea, well, if we've now executed a correct retirement plan, now we have certain streams of income coming our way mm-hmm. when we are older, and if we are incapacitated, that'll be easier for our agents to manage.
Yeah, I just met with a client this past week, Jonathan, who this exact situation arose. They're married, a married couple, second marriage. And they've got children from their previous marriage, each of them. And there's a disproportionate number of children as well. So they've got an estate plan, a solid estate plan that we've assisted with them to put in place. And so when we're establishing financial accounts for them, we're able to use the estate plan as a designation, a beneficiary, which is going to easily accommodate what their wishes are for distribution upon their demise. It's a simple strategy. It was a relief to them. It was just a nice, easy melding and a mesh for them, and it made them feel very confident and comfortable that they had done the right things and put the right procedures in place for their plans.
And see, that's a success. Mm-hmm. That's an example of a success, right? And so the point of doing that is that, well, once you do it, are there some parts of it that are kind of annoying? You know, cleaning out your garage is awful, right? Cleaning the bathroom's
sure.
awful.
Yep.
I gotta wash my car, vacuum my car. I have to clean out the fish tank. Or, for heaven's sakes, I have to vacuum the pool.
Right, or pick up after the dogs.
Yeah, pick up after the dogs. I have to trim that dumb shrub outside, or I have to take the fruit off the tree so it doesn't rot on the ground. Okay, those are all just parts of life we have to deal with.
Sure.
And they're annoying, but once they're done, you feel a sense of accomplishment.
Mm-hmm, yes.
Right? This is more important than any of those.
Right.
Right, and I know it's trite, and I'm making fun, but I'm thinking of the things that I don't want to do.
Mm-hmm.
Right, and so estate planning kind of has that, and retirement planning has that same moniker.
Sure.
Right. So if you've ever worked at a company and you've ever had the opportunity to have your own 401k and you have to select a fund,
mm-hmm.
they like give you this form and they go, select a fund. And you know, I'm younger. You don't know. You're just like, I don't know. I'll check that box.
Right.
You have no idea. They're like, mm-hmm. well, the high yield, international fund. I don't know what that means.
Mm-hmm.
So you just, these are things that aren't necessarily like, if you don't necessarily have the tools to figure them out. And so sometimes they're just hard and they're onerous. So the idea is to, you talk to John and myself.
Yeah. So here's the situation, folks. If you've got questions about your estate planning or financial planning needs, and you're just wondering what are the options out there, what should you be doing? Who can you turn to get this information from? We're happy to sit down and talk with you and schedule a complimentary financial consultation or an estate planning consultation to sit down and talk about what you're doing to protect those assets and pass those assets to your loved ones. And we can do that. Just call our office at 480-991-1055. Check us out on the website at grandcanyonplanning.com. Go ahead, John.
Right. So two reasons we do this, right? So while we're alive, we want to make sure there's a way for our assets to be managed for our benefit if should we become incapacitated.
Right.
And then number two, we need a way for our assets to be managed when we pass away without mm-hmm. having to go through probate.
Right.
So in both scenarios, we want to avoid any type of court interaction mm-hmm. or any type of third party getting involved.
Right.
Now, the reason why retirement planning becomes so important at this point, too, is that typically this happens when you're older.
Mm-hmm,
so if you've done a good retirement plan, not only do you have enough money to live on every month, but now you have money to leave your loved ones.
Right.
So that's why the two need to go together.
Yeah. And Jonathan, as you said, if you haven't provided a clearly drafted estate plan, the estate could be tied up in probate, cost more than you expect, and could leave your loved ones in an uncertain position during what I would call a vulnerable moment.
Yeah, or your
time.
Loved ones could fight over it.
Yeah.
See, here's the problem, right? The misnomer is, and I'm going to say this right now, for any of you kids who think this is true, we need to have a chat.
Mm-hmm.
It's not your money. It's your parents' money. It's your aunt's money. It's your uncle's money.
Right.
And if by the grace of the good Lord, they decide to leave you something, you know, honor them.
Mm-hmm.
Because they've shown you, they've honored you and shown you respect, so honor them back.
Right.
Here's the thing. If they didn't leave you any money, it doesn't mean they don't love you.
Mm-hmm.
But it's their money.
Yep.
And if they want to spend it all while they're alive, that's their prerogative. They worked hard their whole life.
You bet.
So with that, keep that in mind. Just because someone names you as a beneficiary in an estate plan doesn't mean that you're guaranteed to get anything. It doesn't give you any rights to anything until that person passes away.
Right. Very good. Very well said, Jonathan. Estate planning attorney Jonathan Muntz. Hey, Jonathan, thanks so much for being with us. Any final thoughts?
Well, we're going to talk about this more throughout the year. And I think it's really important. Let's not procrastinate any further.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that you're going to talk to Darren.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
So now's the best time.
So, folks, you know, I have Jonathan on the show, estate planning attorney Jonathan Muntz. I've got CPA Darren Sigrist that's on the show, myself, a financial advisor. You know, these are three members of a financial team for you, folks, so that you can use us as a resource to help you accomplish your financial, estate planning, and tax goals. And that's what I want to provide for you each and every week here on The Word on Wealth. So again, folks, check out the website, GrandCanyonPlanning.com. Call for your own personal financial consultation. All that information is on the website. We're going to take a short break. We'll be right back after this. Stay here with us. I'm John Dombrowski. This is The Word on Wealth. All right, John Dombrowski, The Word on Wealth. Folks, thank you so much for being with us today. As always, if you have questions for me or any of the guests we do have on the show, you can always shoot me an email to dearjohn@thewordonwealth.com. That's dearjohn@thewordonwealth.com. And if you shoot me a question on that email, hopefully we could use some of those questions on the show here. And I always like to say, if you have a question and you think, well, gee, it's a silly question, I'm embarrassed to ask it. Well, if you ask a question or you have something in mind, most likely other people are thinking something similar. There's a lot of people out there that would probably have a similar question. So, hey, happy to answer the question and hopefully not only help you out with some type of an answer for that, but others out there who may be thinking the same thing as well. Also, you could check us out on the web at GrandCanyonPlanning.com. That's GrandCanyonPlanning.com. We've got some great information there. Upcoming workshops. Of course, our weekly economic update that I talk about, which you can sign up for right there on the website. There's an introductory video on the website, which I think gives you a good insight as to who we are as a financial planning firm. And so there's just some great information you can glean from our website and hopefully from our show each and every week here. One of the things I want to talk about, and this happens frequently, whether you plan for it or not, and oftentimes you're probably not planning for this, and it catches you off guard, and that is what if you're forced to retire early? You know, we hear about what's called a RIF. Of course, we've got acronyms out there for everything, but a RIF is also used for what's called a reduction in force, right? When companies come in and they maybe fire or force into retirement groups of people, blocks of people in big companies, and they're doing what's called that reduction in force or a RIF. And that's kind of a curveball that you get thrown, right? And you may be saving for retirement, but all of a sudden, if this is something that hits you at the age of 55 or 57 or 62, and you weren't planning on retiring until your full retirement age that Social Security says is maybe 66 or 67, all of a sudden you're left hanging And maybe you're going to be on the hook for some additional expenses and less income than you thought. So what do you do at that point, right? Because we've seen this all too often, and I talk about this regularly, where most people out there don't have enough money saved for an emergency. And one of those emergencies could be if you're forced into an early retirement. And what if you're forced into retirement due to some type of a health issue? In other words, you can't work any longer. Well, that can be a double whammy for you because you may not be able to have the ability to go out and look for other work. If you were let go and you're still capable of working, well, then you do always have that opportunity to go out and try to find some additional employment. So with that being said, I want to talk about some ways that you could prepare yourself in the event something like this were to happen to you. And number one, this is a big one that I talk about on a regular basis with clients, is when folks come in to see me, they sit down and we're talking about and doing a financial review for them. Maybe it's the first time they're coming in to visit with me, trying to get a feel for who I am as a financial planning professional, and then possibly trying to see if I'm going to be a good fit for them. Well, I'm doing the same things, folks. I'm sitting across the table from you, and I'm looking to see, well, gee, am I really going to be able to help this person? Because if I'm not, I'm going to want to help them find direction on where they can go to get the assistance and help that they'll need to make sure that they're successful with what they're trying to accomplish. I would say most often, yes, we can help folks and we are a good fit. But there's always that occasion when that is not the case. But so you're coming to me for this advice. One of the things I see all too often, and I really want folks to take this seriously, is that you need to have what's called an emergency fund. Now, there are a lot of financial professionals out there that may say you need 3 months at a minimum of an emergency fund, right? So if your monthly expenses are $5,000 a month, well, you've got to have at least $15,000 saved as an emergency fund just in case something would happen and you'd have the ability to sustain your lifestyle during that period of time when it may take for you to get back on your feet and find some other employment. But if possible, boy, I would really love to see if you could have at least a 6-month emergency fund or even longer, 9 to 12 months, if possible. Now, that doesn't mean that you can't, you know, oftentimes people will say, well, I don't want to leave all that money in my bank account not earning any interest. Well, I can appreciate that, but you do have to have that liquid money available just in case of that emergency. But if you have additional funds, so if you have 3 to 6 months, maybe you've got 6 months of emergency funds, and now you've got additional money, you can invest that money, folks, but you want to put it in a place that it's liquid, where you can get access to it. So it's possible you put it in a short-term CD, or it's possible you can invest it in something very conservative so that in the event you needed the money, you would have access to it. So that's really critical here, folks. It's an emergency fund that has to have availability, liquidity to it that you can get in the event you needed to, whether it's a reduction in force where you were let go from your job. Maybe you just were unsatisfied or unhappy at work and you just couldn't take it anymore and you had to basically maybe give your resignation to the firm so that you could go out and look for other employment. And that's okay, as long as you had the wherewithal to continue to manage your assets without, and this is critical, without dipping in to your retirement accounts early and having to pay a penalty, right? Because if you look at your 401k as this emergency fund account, oftentimes you're going to be left probably quite short with your assets at the time of retirement. Because if you're constantly dipping into those 401k accounts or 403bs or your IRAs, not only are you paying taxes on that, but you may also be paying an early penalty, right? An early withdrawal penalty, which is up to 10%. And according to this new study for the Center of Research, found that nearly 37% of people ended up retiring earlier than they planned. And in most cases, that's due to some type of a health issue. So again, folks, we want to be very careful so that we don't use these 401ks or 403b plans as a revolving type of a withdrawal type of an account to where we just use when it's an emergency. We want those accounts to be held for our benefit for long term. And we want that money to be there when we actually do retire so that we can step into the next phase of our financial life and be able to live out our life in a comfortable fashion as we're used to when we're working, and also be successful with that plan, as I like to say. So think this through, folks. Make sure you have that emergency fund. Make sure you've got money set aside for at least 3 months, but more like six or even more in an emergency fund, a liquid fund that you can have access to, right? Now, if you've thought about this, great, I'm happy you have. But many people, of course, haven't. And that's where a good, again, trusted advisor can come into play to be able to sit down, walk you through how you can be compartmentalizing, I guess it would be, some of your funds to be able to plan for some type of an unforeseen issue that you may face in your financial life. And unfortunately, folks, all too often, this does happen. And I think if you look out there, if you see, as we age in our aging, we know the Americans, it's an aging population, we're seeing our moms, our dads, our grandparents, brothers and sisters, as we age, we need help. There's no question about that. And so let's put ourselves in a position financially that if we are faced with something that's unforeseen, something that maybe comes and hits us out of the blue, that financially we're going to be able to get through it, to be able to make sure that, you know, not only to get through it for ourselves, but if you're married, folks, again, oftentimes we don't think about this, but if one individual has an issue, maybe it's a health issue and you're forced into retirement, how do you not only support the expense of that medical expense, but then what's left for the surviving spouse to be able to continue on and be able to live a fulfilled financial life as well? So there are a lot of issues that you're faced with when it comes to retirement planning. That's why I encourage you to take the time out of your day. I'll take the time out of my day, make time for you to come in, sit down and talk about what you're doing to plan for all of these important issues that you may face when you're thinking about your financial future and retirement. Again, I'm John Dombrowski. This is The Word on Wealth. Folks, you can check us out on the web at GrandCanyonPlanning.com. That's GrandCanyonPlanning.com. We have some great tools on our website, and from time to time, I'll talk about those tools that are available on the website, resources that you could use to be able to help plan for your financial future. We're going to be still here with you a couple more segments to continue today, and I encourage you to stay tuned in. If you're driving in your car, be very careful, of course. But if you're sitting at home, well, great. Grab a pen. You can make some notes on the things we talk about and hopefully be able to take at least one important issue that you may be faced with when it comes to your financial future. And you can use that tool that we're talking about here on the show to help improve your financial life. All right, I'm John Dombrowski, The Word on Wealth. Folks, again, go to our website at GrandCanyonPlanning.com. Wow, the Eagles, take it easy. Yeah, so when you're in retirement, you could take it easy. All right, we'll be right back after this short break. John Dombrowski. This is The Word on Wealth. As always, thank you for joining us. Hopefully you're having a wonderful morning and enjoying your coffee or whatever you're drinking at the moment. I'm having my shot of vodka. No, I'm just kidding. I always have my cup of tea with me wherever I go. Anyway, again, as always, if you've got questions for us, anything financial, I encourage you to reach out to us, and you can shoot me an email at dearjohn@thewordonwealth.com. That's dearjohn@thewordonwealth.com. We've got some, always the opportunity, I love to answer those questions for you on the show. And I'm sure if you've got a question, somebody else is probably thinking the same thing, and we want to certainly help you out, but also them as well. All right, I got one of our resident guests with us, even though it's right in the height of tax season. We've got Darren Sigrist. Hey, Darren, how's it going?
Doing well.
Good. Of course, Darren is a CPA with Sigrist, Cheek, Potter, and Heiser, and he is here to talk about a couple of issues that we're faced with when it's tax time. And I've got a couple questions for him. We did get an email that I want to get to that's tax-related, so Darren will talk about that. As always, again, shoot me those emails, dearjohn@thewordonwealth.com. Check out our website of grandcanyonplanning.com as well. All right, Darren, I did get an email, and I know you're right in the middle of tax season, so you probably get the same questions asked 1,000 times a day, right? But this email is regarding those 1099s that come in. And the person's asking, says, "Dear John, I have not received my 1099s yet. I heard there is a deadline when it comes to that. What is the deadline?"
Yeah, and that's a couple different answers. A lot of the 1099s for just normal income, like you're doing contracting work, those are supposed to be out by January 31st. So mm-hmm. people typically get those in the first week or two of February. Investment companies, they get a little bit of extra time because it's a little bit more complicated to report a lot of those 1099s and get them right.
Right.
So February 15th is the deadline on that, on getting those out. So typically, you're getting those 1099s toward the end of February.
You know what's interesting, Darren, is I noticed that the mail, we're finding at least many instances where the mail has been just awful as far as being timely for delivery. I don't understand why. I have no reason why the mail all of a sudden has this hiccup that's happening, but it's consistently bad for delivery. And checks, someone says, "Oh, I mailed the check 2-3 weeks, still haven't received it yet."
Right.
I just got actually a letter back in the mail today. We mail all of our clients a Christmas, not a card, but a newsletter. And we just got one back in the mail for the wrong address. That's 6 weeks ago. What am I saying? Probably more like 10 weeks ago that right. was mailed. And we're just now getting notification back on. I don't understand why this is happening, but I think people have to be aware of that. So when they're expecting these tax documents to be sent to them in the mail, be a little bit patient right now.
Be patient. I think that all of the systems, you know, whether it's Department of Revenue, IRS, Postal Service, everything is, for the first time ever, I guess, I think in our history, just everything kind of closed down, shut mm-hmm. down all at one time. And the recovery on that, I don't think it's just going to take weeks by any means or months. Mm-hmm. I think it's going to take, you know, a year or better for some of this to recover.
Right.
At one point, I know I read a statistic on the IRS.
Right.
And they were having to rent storage facilities for all of their 18-wheelers that haul mail in because
mm-hmm.
they couldn't process it. I think they had like 15 million pieces of mail.
Wow.
That was in the processing queue or should have been in the processing queue.
Right.
So it takes time. And what does that affect? It does affect the Postal Service when they've got processing issues or they have downtime and people out. But from an IRS standpoint, that does affect, amended return processing, and dozens of returns, even in our practice, get amended
mm-hmm.
for corrected 1099s.
Right.
You know, you'll report. No good deed goes unpunished. You report
yes,
in a very
course.
Timely manner. Mm-hmm. So you get your returns done, you get them filed in March, and then you get that 1099
right.
that it corrects your investment income. Well, an amended return needs to take care of that. And the returns are just taking 16 weeks at best, but even longer than that. We've got amended returns that were mailed in November that are not yet on the system as being processed. So yeah, patience, it's a virtue that I think everybody needs to have. But I think the other part of that is you're going to have your people like me asking you questions about documents that we reported last year.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, if your answer is, yeah, my account is closed, that's one thing, but it's another thing to, you know, use that as a red flag and
right.
say, oh, okay, maybe I do need to call the bank or the investment company or some other vendor and track down that information.
Well, and sometimes that's a real challenge, but you have to be patient and you just have to do it. Darren, the other question, we did get another email here, and this one from Sharon. And Sharon asks, "Dear John, my husband passed away and I've inherited his retirement accounts. I heard there's some changes when it comes to RMDs, required minimum distributions. How do I go about calculating what is required this year from the IRA?" And I just kind of preface a couple things, Darren. Of course, last year, RMDs were waived. You didn't
right.
have to take them last year. Also last year, there was a law that was passed that increased your RMD to age 72.
Correct.
And I know you and I have talked about this, but if you were already in the 70 and a half bucket, as it would be, you had to take your RMD except for last year, of course.
Correct.
But you would have to take it this year moving forward. And what was interesting is I went online and I tried to find the new tax tables and the calculators that I used to use from IRS's website, which was very easy. it's a little bit more difficult. I couldn't find it. Right. I couldn't find a calculator to calculate what it was. I did find the table, RMD table, which I just had to do it manually. But for a lot of people, it's going to be difficult for them to calculate what the required distribution is. What do you recommend for people?
Well, again, that's a difficult one. And what from a CPA standpoint, it's hard for us to do it because you typically have multiple IRA accounts. Mm-hmm. You know, again, it's always nice to just consolidate them with a company like Grand Canyon Planning.
Right.
So that you've got a resource. But, you know, a lot of times we're getting in several statements. We go off the same statements that you're referring to, the same tables,
right.
And they're calculated on life expectancy.
Right.
In an inheritance situation, it's going to depend as well. So the spouse, as you know, can just transfer that IRA into her own,
their
name,
own name.
But it sounds like in Sharon's case, they're already in an RMD situation where they were either in required minimum distributions and taking those prior to his death, or mm-hmm. Sharon is...
Older,
and is needing to calculate those. But the calculations on those, a lot of times I'll be calling the investment advisor or the investment company to find out what the
values are
mm-hmm. and what the tables are that they're calculating.
Yeah, and there are different tables, Darren. Of course,
yes.
If you're married and you are a beneficiary of your spouse's, there's one table for that. If you're a non-spouse beneficiary, there's a different table for that. So it can be confusing. But you know, in a case like this, I reached out to Sharon. I got the information from her, and we needed year-end values. She had three different IRAs.
Right.
We totaled up that value and able to find, you know, some semblance of an RMD. But I did ask her. I said, here's what my I'm not a tax advisor, but here's what I'm seeing, and this is the amount that you'd be required to take. I said, but just run these numbers by your tax advisor, too, just to verify and make sure that we're on the same page before you go ahead and do this.
Yeah, and I think a big part of the difference is a lot of things with the SECURE Act changed.
Right.
Right at the end of 2019.
Mm-hmm.
And I think a lot of the things were changing at the IRS level on publications and getting that into law. And then the pandemic hit.
Yeah.
So I think there has been a delay. I mean, there's a common theme to this segment. It's
yes.
I think there's been a delay on a lot of the release of
right.
that. But the primary issue is you don't have to take, if you were turned 70 and a half after January 1st, 2020, then your RMD age went to 72 years old.
Yeah.
And then last year threw all kinds of wrenches into that logic.
Well, Darren, lots to talk about when it comes to taxes, and it can be confusing, and I encourage people always to use a tax preparer. Let's go ahead and throw out your email information, your website address again, Darren.
It's darren.segrist@azcpas.com.
Okay, or if you're just the website, is
azcpas.com, and you can reach any of us at that website.
Perfect. Okay, I'm John Dombrowski. This is The Word on Wealth. Thanks for being with us again,
Darren.
I know
thanks
it's a crazy time for you, but these things help the folks out there, and I really appreciate that, and I hope they do as well. Keep sending me those emails to dearjohn@thewordonwealth.com. Also, if you've got questions and you want to sit down and talk with me face-to-face, you could do that by just picking up your phone and giving us a call at 480-991-1055 and scheduling an appointment, or go to the website at grandcanyonplanning.com and we can schedule or request an appointment right there. All right, I'm John Dombrowski reminding you, until next time, don't run out of money before you run out of time.
President and co-founder of Grand Canyon Planning Associates. Call and schedule your complimentary financial consultation at 480-991-1055. For personalized financial and retirement advice, that's 480-991-1055 or toll free at 1-866-991-4272. Visit us at GrandCanyonPlanning.com, like us on Facebook, and follow us on Twitter. Securities and advisory services offered through Client One Securities, LLC, member of FINRA and SIPC, and an investment advisor. Grand Canyon Planning Associates, LLC, and Client One Securities, LLC are not affiliated.